Words for Life is by Reverend Brett Peatman of Aspendale Presbyterian Church here in Melbourne. His talk title is Follow the Light. The Bible reading is John 1 verses 35 to 51 and is read by David Suchet.
The next day John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning round, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying, and they spent that day with him. It was about 4 in the afternoon. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah," that is, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which when translated is Peter. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." "Nazareth? Can anything good come from there?" Nathanael asked. "Come and see," said Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, "Here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." "How do you know me?" Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, "I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you." Then Nathanael declared, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus said, "You believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. You'll see greater things than that." He then added, "Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man."
It was back in 1984 that Bono from U2 sang, "I still haven't found what I'm looking for. I still haven't found what I'm looking for." And it still resonates today, doesn't it? So many of us feel like we don't have everything we're supposed to have, that like we're missing something. We're lost, we're searching. What are you looking for? What are you seeking in life? What would you like to see happen? What's interesting is that's the same question we get in verse 38 of this passage. Verse 38, Jesus asks the two disciples of John who've come up following him, "What do you want? What are you seeking?" is the a more literal translation. What are you looking for? What do you want? They're, of course, thrown back by the question, like we are when we're asked, "What do you want?" It's kind of an expansive, broad question. And they fumble around and say, "Look, where are you staying?" What? See, they've been pointed to Jesus. John the Baptist has pointed them and said, "That's God's Messiah, the Lamb of God, the one who takes away the sin of the world." And so they start following him. They chase him around and he asks them, "What do you want?" That's a hard question, isn't it? Their answer is, "Where are you staying?" But you see the resolution in they spent the day with him. These men would then become Jesus' disciples. They've gone from John the Baptist, listening to his preaching, to repent, to be baptized, and that one greater than John the Baptist is coming. And then John's pointed to Jesus and they've gone, "Right, it's time to change, time to go, time to follow." See, John said Jesus is the one whose sandal he was not worthy to untie. He is so much greater. And I wonder today, who do we look to? Where do we hope to find the answers? Do we look to our politicians? Are you banking on the next election? Well, I'm not really. Maybe you look to yourself. This is the message of our society today. If you look to yourself, everything will work out. You just do what's right for you. You do you. But that doesn't really work either. Maybe you're short on hope. Maybe you spent too much time watching the news and you slip into despair. You see the problems. And what do we do next? See, the good news in this passage is that there is someone. Someone we can look to. And there's an invitation in here that's put to the disciples, but it's also relevant to us. That question, what are you seeking, is supposed to resonate beyond just Jesus' conversation with those two disciples. It's for us too. What are you seeking? But in verse 39 and verse 46, there's also an answer of sorts. Come and see. Come and take a look at Jesus. There's the answer. But who is Jesus? In verse 39, Jesus says to the disciples, come with me and you'll see. And they spent the day with him. Or in verse 46, we read, can anything good come from Nazareth? Nazareth was a Hicksville and people of mixed race. Come and see, said Philip. He takes his brother to Jesus. Just that small conversation, Nathanael takes his brother Peter, who would become Jesus' key disciple, to Jesus. Come and see him. Come and meet him. That invitation would change everything for him. And it's the same invitation we have. We're called here to come and see Jesus. And Jesus is introduced in the Gospel of John in glorious terms. They are huge. Earlier in chapter 1, we've already heard of Jesus as the Word made flesh, the Word who is God, the light that was shining in the darkness of this world, the true light that gives light to everyone. Jesus is the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. He is called the Christ, the Messiah, the one whose sandals John was not worthy to untie. And John calls him here the Lamb of God. In verse 36, we have, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. In verse 38, he's called Teacher. In verse 41, Messiah. Verse 45, the one who Moses wrote about in the law, the one who the prophets wrote about, the Son of God in verse 49, the King of Israel, and the Son of Man. And today what I want us to do as we come and have a look at Jesus is to see three of these titles in particular. The first one I will look at is Messiah. That's a bit of a strange phrase, isn't it? Messiah. It means anointed one. The one who's had oil poured on their head. This is the same thing that will happen to King Charles when he's at his coronation. They will pour oil on the top of his head. It is an ancient tradition. This is how you marked out the kings, how you marked out God's chosen king. And so when we hear that he is the Messiah or the Christ, that means he's the King of Israel. He will be over everything. The idea of anointing is setting that person apart for a particular task. The Hebrew word is Messiah. The Greek word is Christ. You can use whichever you like. It doesn't matter. They mean the same thing. And this is not just any anointed one. Verse 45 tells Philip finds Nathanael and tells him, we've found the one Moses wrote about in the law, the one whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. This is the one God promised would come, the one we've been waiting for, the one they've been waiting for century on century on century. He's here. He's in front of them here. Come and see him. Have a look. The whole purpose of John's gospel, if you've taken the time to read it, you find in chapter 20, verse 31, that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. The whole point here is he's the one we need to listen to. He's the one who gives us the truth about God. He's the one who shines light into our dark world. He's the one who shows us our true significance and what life is all about. If you believe that Jesus is the Christ, that means above all, we listen to him. And the question today is, will we listen to Jesus? Do you listen to him? Do you hear from him? Now, we're not taking our brother to go and meet him, but when we pick up the Word of God, when we read about him in the Gospels, when we read the teaching of the early church, we're learning about Christ. And by his Holy Spirit, we hear from him. We get to know him. Will you trust him over everyone else? Over all the other talk, will you listen to Christ? Because he is the Messiah. He is God's forever King. Now, the next title I want to move on to is the Son of God in verse 49. This is also a big title. Nathanael declared to Jesus, Rabbi, you are the Son of God, the King of Israel. The Son of God could mean the King of Israel in the Old Testament. That was one way it was expressed. But Psalm 2 speaks about the Son of God profoundly. He's the one who will conquer the nations. He's the one who will rule them with an iron fist. He's the one who you need to make your peace with. He is God's King. And so it's not surprising when Jesus claimed to be the Son of God that people got angry with him. If we move on to John chapter 10, verse 36, Jesus speaks about himself as the one whom the Father has set apart as his very own and sent him into the world. And he asked the Pharisees, Why then do you accuse me of blasphemy? Because I said I am God's son. He's accused of blasphemy because he's calling himself God's son, making himself equal with God. They wanted to stone him, because they understood just the gravity of what he was claiming, to be the Son of God, to be the one God has sent, to be the one and only. He's the one we listen to. It's those first two titles, Messiah and Son of God, that lead to Jesus' death. The claim to ultimate significance could not be ignored. Now, today, it's becoming more and more unusual for people to have a clear source of authority outside your own self. We live in a culture that wants to put each individual at the center of their own universe. The only trouble is, if I'm at the center of my universe and you're at the center of your universe, when we run into each other, we're going to find it hard to get along because we don't respect one another's authority or sovereign power. We bring ourselves into conflict. Reality is we need something bigger than us, greater than us, something that can show us what life is truly about, that can bring about significance and meaning. When you see the Son of God who gave his life for you, you cannot live with yourself at the center. God himself sent his Son that he would give his life for us. Love is about sacrifice and not putting yourself at the center. Jesus gives us a choice to die for ourselves independent of God, or to accept his death for us and his authority over us. If you see Jesus as the Christ, the Son of God, you do not go on living for yourself, but you live for the one who saved you. That's the very heart of the gospel. That's the heart of the Christian life, seeing the Son of God and letting him change your life. The last title I want to look at tonight is Son of Man. This one comes up in verse 51 of John chapter 1. Jesus says to Nathanael, "You believe me because I told you under the fig tree that you will see greater things than that." He then added, "Very truly, I tell you, you will see heaven open and angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." Now, like many phrases in the Bible, this one's a little bit cryptic, and you need to remember where it's come from. Jesus is calling himself the Son of Man, which could just mean human. But it could mean a lot more than that. Daniel 7:13 speaks of a Son of Man. The prophet Daniel wrote us somewhere between 600 and 800 years before Jesus these words in Daniel 7:13 and 14. "In my vision at night I looked, and there before me was one like a Son of Man, coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All nations and peoples of every language worshipped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed." I think when Jesus is claiming to be the Son of Man, he's asserting his supreme authority over everything for all eternity. He is the one God has sent. He is over every nation, every government. People from every corner of the earth worship him. His dominion, his kingdom is an everlasting one that will not end. It will never be destroyed. Jesus is the cosmic, eternal ruler of the universe. But he doesn't do it by conquest or violence. He does it by service. And so his kingdom has an entirely different character. And with this image of the Son of Man, we also get this image of angels ascending and descending on him, going up and down. Now, where does that come from? That's Genesis chapter 28. If you flip back to the beginning of your Bible, Genesis, we have Jacob having a dream at a place called Bethel. The name Bethel literally means house of God, but it got that name because of Jacob's dream. He had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth with its top reaching the heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. There above it stood the Lord, and he said, "I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will not be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east and to the north and the south. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I will go with you." The great promise there is an echo of the promise to Abraham that all peoples on earth will be blessed through him. The image of the angels going up and down on this land that God has set aside, this special place for his people. Jesus shifts. Where is the place of God's people? Well, Jesus says, "You will see heaven open and angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." Jesus is now the new Bethel, the new house of God, the gate of heaven, the place where God is revealed, where heaven and earth meet, where God and humankind come together. See, Jesus' glory is not like the glory of this world. Jesus' ultimate glory is that he dies for you and for me, that our sin might be forgiven, that our guilt might be paid for. And that reality changes everything. Jesus is the Son of Man. So we've been invited. God asks us, what are we looking for? What are we searching for? What do you seek? Come and see Jesus. And I want to take you, lastly, to Philippians chapter 4, where Paul speaks about the difference that knowing Jesus makes. Philippians chapter 4, verse 11 and 12. Paul says, I have learned to be content in whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. Whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want, I can do all this through him who gives me strength. I think Paul knew how to trust God. I remember being at university and one of my Christian friends, who I used to do a lot of rock climbing with, telling me, look, I've been doing really well. I think I'm doing really well in my contentment of late. I'm quite happy with life as it is. Now, it's not surprising. He was at uni. He didn't have a lot of pressure on his life. He had a great time going to parties, going and enjoying the bush. Didn't have a lot of responsibilities. It's not hard to be content in that situation. And I think if we read that into this passage, we're doing the wrong thing. How did Paul learn the secret of being content? He learnt it through beatings, through being in prison, through not having enough food, through being stretched and threatened and in danger. Because if you trust God in those situations, you learn to be content. What he says is, I can do all this. I can cope with all the rubbish through him who gives me strength. I know the Great One. I know Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God, the Son of Man. And we may actually have a rough ride coming in the next few years. Looking ahead, there is more uncertainty than there's ever been, at least than I can remember. The secret here of riding the storm, about being content in the midst of it all, is not having everything you would like, but having Jesus. The secret to being content is Jesus. The secret to less anxiety is knowing the one on the throne of heaven and knowing that he's good. The secret to being a non-anxious presence in our society is knowing and trusting the King of it all. Have you found what you're looking for? Come and see Jesus, or join us and follow Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are over all things, that you invite us to find our significance, our meaning and hope in Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray more and more that we will come and see more of him, that you will reveal more and more of him to us, that we might trust him, that we might follow him and know him and have joy through the Holy Spirit. Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Words for